the chapter, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. And when you find your place, they'll just stand to your feet. And if you got it on your electronic gadget or whatever it may be, if you need a Bible, lift up your hand. We'll get a Bible to you. If you need a Bible, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We got a whole back row over there. Amen. The young folk, they need some Bibles. Amen. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. I want to also acknowledge those that are visiting with us this morning. Praise God for you. Amen. Your answered prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Are you there? Hallelujah. And it reads, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Hear that? Let's read that together. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Look at verse 31, since we're in the neighborhood. It says, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed. Amen. That means it should be rewarded in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Amen. Since we were in the neighborhood, amen. He said, now, the righteous, you're going to be recompensed. You're going to be rewarded. But don't think I'm forgetting about the wicked or the sinners. They're going to get theirs too. You hear what I'm saying? We ain't trying to rejoice in that. This is why we need to be soul winners, because everybody going to get their reward. You hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And I want my reward is because I have been righteous. Amen. And not because of my own righteousness, but what? The righteousness of Jesus Christ has worked through me, and I have become a what? A soul winner. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's all about him. I'm talking about Jesus. Give him a high five and take your seat. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, he is. It's all about him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hold on. I thank God for my wife. Amen. Pastor Angela, I apologize to you. I just want to go and say that y'all don't know what that about, but I apologize to you. Would you give me forgiveness, please? Now, you shaking your head. She's talking about maybe. I got to get through this message, girl. Amen. All right, she forgive me. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes you got to do it right in the midst of the service, honey. Do you see? I put my foot in the mouth in the middle of the service, so I got to ask for forgiveness in the middle of the service. Amen. Ah, God, yes, sir. Amen. So you promise you won't say anything else about it after church. Amen. I'm trying to get on record in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Praise, that's how you do it, man. You know, just get it straight in church. You don't want that thing to get back to your house, brother. Ah, it'll tear the house up. What Proverbs said, what, there's something, a brawling or contentious woman is like a drop or something? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Pastor Angela, for receiving, amen, my request of forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says that my prayers would be hindered. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. So I want to get it straight. Amen. Hallelujah. We're starting a series, and I thank God again for all of you that are here. But God is going to do something in us as a people this year. I feel it. Again, I say that this year is going to be a different year for us in the sense that God is calling us out. We're going out. Amen. We're going to be out. And I've already themed the month of March. I already talked to Nene about this and some other folks. She's going to be aiding, assisting, and leading in some efforts for us outreach is concerned. But March is going to be March Madness. Amen. We're going to be mad for souls. Amen. Somebody say mad for souls. I'm talking about if they're not saved, they're going to get saved. They hear what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. And so our desire is that whoever God brings across our path, we're going out to him. And whoever he brings across our path, it is our prayer that we're going to have March Madness. They're going to get saved in the month of March. You hear what I'm saying? This is what we're believing for, Brother Joy. This is where we got to put our faith in. Amen. We got to put our faith out there just like that so that we can believe, amen, that souls will be won. time. The Bible says here in Proverbs, again, verse chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That word winneth is an interesting word. It's the word taketh. Oh, my God. It says he that taketh souls, amen, is a winner. And so he says, he that taketh souls is wise. And we understand in this house that we have to get our soul saved. I've taught on that how in our soul is our mind, our will, and also our emotions. And so when we're talking about saving souls, we're talking about saving people. Amen. People, amen, that need to have their soul saved. If you're not saved today, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to leave here, amen, knowing that you are not saved, amen. Not only that, but number two, if you have any doubt about your salvation today, you're going to leave here with an assurance of your salvation. You can be sure, but sure, but sure that you're going meet your maker when you close your eyes. Amen. To be absent from this body, you can know that you can be present with the Lord. Amen. So we're beginning this series, and I'm calling this series Soul Winners. Amen. Soul Winners. But today, I want to speak from the subject of fishers of men. Somebody say fishers. Fishers of men. Amen. We got some fishers around, fishermen and fisherwomen, amen, around here. But that word fisherman also we're going to see in the context is also the catchers of men. Amen. Fishers and catchers of men. And so we're going to be for the most of the month of February and probably some into March, we're going to really focus in this soul winners, talking about soul winners and that how we are all soul winners and that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has saved us, not just to save us, but he saved us to win souls, to bring other people in. Somebody said to bring other people in. Have you ever been in something that's good, and if it has been real good, you want other people to know about it? You want them to get in on it? That's what your salvation should be like, amen? And if you ain't got your joy, the Bible says he can restore into you what? The joy of my salvation. I'm just as excited about him as I was over 20-some years ago when I received him as my Lord and Savior. And when you get excited about something, people around you want to know what you're excited about. And what the world needs is Jesus. Amen. And we say in this house, it's all about him. And so what we're going to do in this series, we're going to explore the many facets of soul winning and how it applies to us, all of us as Christians, us that are born again, us that are disciples. We know that our theme here, amen, is leaning on Jesus. Matter of fact, if you're leaning on Jesus, you are a soul winner, amen, because it is his desire that none should perish or none should be lost, but all should come to the knowledge of who God is, amen. And Jesus said it this way, no man can come to the Father except he what? Come by me, amen. He is what? The way, the truth, and also the life. Amen. And what the world needs is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Amen. And this is what we're preparing our hearts for. Hallelujah. That we can not only go out into the streets. Amen. We can minister to our families. We can minister, amen, to our folks on our workplaces and people, amen, that we come into contact with, what I call divine appointments. Amen. There are some people that God will bring across your path. For you, amen, for them to see the Jesus that's on the inside of you and for you to share the good news, the gospel. He says, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men nigh unto me. And so this is what we desire to do. Well, in this, about this series of soul winning, we're going to understand the business of soul winning, the burden of soul winning, the behavior of soul winning, and the blessing of soul winning. Amen. I'm talking about, I mean, there's some fruit in this thing of being a soul winner. Amen. And so I want us to understand that, as I had said earlier, that Jesus has called all of us to be soul winners. Say to yourself, say, I am a soul winner. So you got to come out the blocks of convincing you yourself that you are a soul winner. Now, please go with me over to the book of John, and that Proverbs 11:30 is going to be our foundational scripture for this particular series of messages, John chapter 20, and we're going to deal with the business of soul winning, and it's the fishers of men, the catchers of men. John chapter 20, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? John. Amen. John chapter 20. When you get to the Gospel of St. John, go to chapter 20, and then we're going to go to verse 21, okay? And just give you a background of this setting here. This is John chapter 20, verse 21. We see here Jesus, after his resurrection, after he went and died upon the cross, he was resurrected, and he's here now. He appears before his disciples here, being the first day of the week. Let's put the text up in verse 19, John 20 and 19. And he's getting ready to minister to them. This is one of the last commandments. And you see the same story here in Matthew's gospel and also Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel. All the gospel globetrotters, all of them had wrote of this particular occasion that took place, that Jesus Christ came to them before he ascended to the Father. This is after his resurrection. He's getting ready to go back to the Father. And look what he says. Look at verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where his disciples were assembled. Now, I want you to hear that. Now, understand this. Disciples are always going to be assembled. Somebody say disciples are always going to be assembled. See, just churchgoers, they gather. They don't come. They just come. They ain't got what they need to have with it. They ain't even got a praise. You know what I'm saying? They just gather the church. You know, I just made it. I'm glad to be in the house. But a disciple come with the back strength. You know what I'm saying? In their battle dress uniform. Already got a praise in their step. And a praise on their tongue. You know what I'm saying? Coming with their sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Coming to do warfare. Coming to give God worship and praise. And so when somebody comes like that through the door, they're coming to assemble themselves with us already. It's happening. But other folks just gather. They lay. They get here when they get here. Amen. See, if you were in the army, the military, you would be fired. And not only in the military, you can't pull some of this stuff you pull at church, at work. Keep roll up in there too many late times. Amen, behind the thing. Yeah, you going to get your pink slip. And they going to walk you to the door. Amen. They going to walk you right on up out of there. Can I get an amen? I'm just trying to keep this real. Bring it into reality. And so what I'm saying to you here, he says now, he says they were shut. The disciples were assembled. But look why they were assembled. For fear of the Jews. Amen. See, Jesus Christ, we always talk about we must have an object of our faith. See, you can have faith in someone or something, and you need to have faith in someone, and his name is Jesus. See, faith, I've taught in this how, comes to combat my fear. So wherever there's fear in my life, that tells me that I'm not in faith. I'm not in faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ said, have faith in who? God. And he said he is the only way to get to God is through him. So if you're going to have faith in God, you got to have faith in Jesus. So when we are operating in fear, that means that we're not operating in faith. Amen. And we need to operate in faith, because it says without faith is what? Impossible to do what? Please God. Who in here don't want to please God? I believe all of us wants to please God. He is the one that created us, formed us, fashioned us. He made us. Why not do I want to please him? But the only way you're going to please God is you got to please him with your faith. Amen. And the Bible says our righteousness, and when we say faith, we're talking about confidence, belief, and trust. Just last week when we were in Proverbs, what it says, trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In what? All of your ways. What? Acknowledge him. And he should do what? Direct your steps. Amen. We got to stay in Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you what, not only do we need Jesus, but that world out there need Jesus. Oh, yes, sir, they need Jesus. And we are the people that's going to take Jesus to the world. Amen. Oh, yeah. But see, what you got to understand, Jesus got to do something in you before you can do something out there. Oh, my God. Woo, we gonna, boy, Jesus get ready to work. He get ready to work every one of us over today. I'm telling you, man, he get ready to work us over with this word here. Amen. Let's look here. Verse, go on. I'm not even going to maybe get through verse 19, man. He says, verse 19 again, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. When you're in fear, Jesus wants to show up and say, peace be unto you. Amen. Yes, sir. Then it says in verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples what? Glad. When they what? Saw the Lord. This is how King Uzziah said, he says, in the year, amen, it was a prophet, says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. See, oh my God, it was about 50 some years. Sometimes some folk got to die before you see the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible say they got glad when they seen Jesus. Amen. They were shut up, amen, scared, afraid. And Jesus walked in and said, peace be unto you. Amen. And they got excited because their faith was back in the room. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, you can't lose your faith. You can't have misplaced faith. The Bible talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander who came to make people have shipwrecked faith. You know what I'm saying? See, the enemy wants to get your faith. Amen. He wants you to be confused about your faith, about who you believe in, who you trusting in, whose word are you standing on. Amen. And our faith got to be in Jesus. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. I got to start with him. I got to run with him all the way. Amen. And I got to end with them. Amen. If I'm going to stand before the God. Amen. Jesus Christ said it this way. If you won't be ashamed of me. Amen. Before the people, I won't be ashamed of you before God. Oh my God. Because at the end of the day, we all going to have to stand and give an account for our lives. And boy, I want to have an account that Jesus is going to be standing beside me. Said, Father, he was a faithful son. She was a faithful daughter. Let her enter on in to what? The joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I'm putting all chips on Jesus. I'm saying that he's going to be the one that's standing with me. Amen. The Bible said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. He said, in my Father's house are what? Many mansions. And if he said, and I'm getting ready to go what? Prepare a place for you. And guess what? I'm coming back to get you. Hallelujah. But until I come back to get you, you got to win some souls. You got to win some souls. I'm talking about soul winners, fishermen of men. We're talking about the business of soul winning, and that's to catch men. That's to be fishermen of men. I don't care what you've been fishing and what you've been catching. I know, but it's time to catch some men and women for God. You hear what I'm saying? Some lost souls and to bring them in. It goes on to say in verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Somebody say, go. That's what he's saying. He's telling them, even as my Father sent me, now I'm getting ready to send you because I'm getting ready to go back to the Father. And just as he sent me, it's time for you to go. And then he goes on to say, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost, amen, or the Holy Spirit. Now, not only did he say go, he said, now go with power. You just can't go in and of your own cell. Amen. But you got to go. Jesus Christ said, this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, it's expedient for me to go back and be with the Father. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless here. Amen. Me and the Father going to hook up together. We're going to talk about this thing. We're going to send the third person. Amen. Hallelujah. Of the posse. Amen. We're going to send the Holy Ghost down there. And so he said, now when you go, I need you to go with the Holy Ghost. So not only go, we got to go with power. Because we got souls to win. You can't go in your name. You can't go in what your fame. You can't go in what you claim. You got to go in his name. Amen. And you got to go with power. Oh my God. I feel a heat wave already up in this joint. Oh, I ain't letting up today. We going on the metal all the way to the end. Amen. We going to leave out of here shouting today. Said, I'm going with Jesus. Amen. I said, you know, I don't have any other mindset or mentality with all of that going on out there in those streets. Who else can we go to? The Bible says Jesus Christ said something one time, and the disciples said, that's a hard saying. And it says, well, some of his disciples left him. Some of his followers left him. I'm telling you, life will get so hard for you, you're going to have to make up your mind. Am I going with Jesus, or is it to a hard saying, or am I going somewhere? And then Peter looked over there and said, look, they gone. He looked at them. He said, now what y'all going to do? Peter said, well, where are we going to go? You the one got eternal life. We already know you the man. Amen. I'm here to tell you, whatever you do, don't you never leave Jesus out of your life. He don't want no place. He wants preeminence in your life. Well, he got a place in my life. I recognize him. I know who he is. He want the place. Amen. He want preeminence, not just a place, but preeminence in your life. Amen. He wants to be what? Number one, and number one alone in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see here, he says them to go with power. Look at verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, or whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Or those that you refuse, they are refused. So he says, now go with power, but go to deliver. Go to deliver. That's why we're going. This is a soul winner. He telling them that you got to go, but you got to go with power. And he says, you got to go to deliver. So that's the mission. We're going to do what? To deliver. We're going to deliver. We're going with power, and power helps us to deliver. And we're going, amen, to deliver. Can I get you to repeat that? Say, I'm going with power, and I'm going to deliver. Oh, my God. I'm telling you what, man. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoice over the winning of what? One soul. Oh, man. All of heaven will rejoice when someone comes. Amen. That's a part of the blessing. This is the blessing and the benefits of soul winning. We're not going to deal with that today. We're dealing with the business of soul winning here. So Jesus was telling his disciples, go with power and go to deliver. Because this is what pleases the Heavenly Father. You hear that? He says, my Father has sent me, even so I send you. This is what pleases the Heavenly Father, is to win souls. I'm telling you, that is the, what was the church put on the earth for? I'm here to tell you, to win souls. Now, after they are won, then we disciple them. You hear what I'm saying? So you just can't get them saved. They got to get saved. Amen. So you preaching to them. We've taught in this house. We preach to them the gospel, the good news that he came, died, and rose again just for you. Amen. He forgive you of your sin. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and do what? Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus is the one that cleans you up. You can't clean yourself up, but Jesus does the cleaning up and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. But after you get saved, Paul said it this way, that I have a son not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So now after they get saved with the salvation message, then they need the rest of the Bible so that they can live right. You know what I'm saying? See, there's one thing to get saved. Then I got to walk this thing out right, because he wants to use me. God wants to use me now to do what? To win souls. I want you to understand everything that you've been through, everything that don't make sense to you, why you went through it, why I had to go down that road, why nobody else went down, why did you choose me? Amen. See, the devil chose you, amen. But God said, no, I'm working all that together for your good, amen. Because you're going to have a testimony, amen. You're going to let folks, somebody going to say, well, I got this going on. And God going to put he's going to put you right in person, in front of the right person. He's going to say, why? He said, let me tell you, Jesus delivered me from the same thing that you're going through. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be able to remove the excuses in there and tell them the same Jesus that saved me is the same Jesus that will save you and deliver you as well. Hallelujah. I'm talking about this soul winning thing. We want to be able to walk in this thing. The vision that the Lord gave me for this house some 12, 13 years ago was this. He says, I want the bread of life to be soul winners. He says, I want them to win the loss. Somebody say, win the loss. Train and equip the army of God to transform lives and communities. He said, you'll do it one soul at a time. He said, if you change a life, that life will go change their whole household, their whole neighborhood. They'll go get the posse and the boys. They go get Moo Moo and Boochie and all of them. They'll save all of them. All you got to do is save one soul at a time, and God will transform that life, and that life will transform everything around. See, it's like this. You got to take Jesus Christ's ministry, and you got to make it a movement in your life. You got to take Jesus Christ's ministry. His ministry came to you and saved you. And that same ministry that he brought into your life, you got to make it a movement in your life. You know what I'm saying? You got to say, my life is all about Jesus. And this has become a movement in my life. See, I'm not going to be a monument. I'm not going to be a statue. Amen. No, I'm going to be used by God. I'm going to be an instrument versus a monument. Amen. So you got to ask yourself, now that you're saved, are you an instrument or a monument? I'm saved. Amen. What is that supposed to mean? Amen. When you get saved and allow Jesus Christ to work through your life, you become an instrument unto him, a vessel of clay, meet for the master's use. Amen. That's what we want to be. We want to be instruments. We want to be vessels unto him. And I'm going to deal with this vessels a little later. Go with me right over to the next book, the book of Acts. Now, because he told them to receive ye the Holy Ghost, did he not? Now, if you think that he told them to go and they go with power, they ain't got the power because the power was with him. He said, now, it's expedient that I go, but me and the Father going to send one back. He said, I got to go because the power is with me. And now I'm going to go back and we're going to send the power back down him. And I want you to know the day that we're living in the time now where the Holy Spirit is in the earth. He is in the earth. You ain't got to tarry for him. All you got to do is ask for him. And he'll enter into your heart. See, there are some Christians here that you are saved and you are monument because you're not living a victorious life. It's only because you haven't went yet. And the reason why you haven't went yet, because you ain't got no power. But this power is called the Holy Spirit. So many of us, not only after we get saved, we get the initial feeling of the Holy Spirit because he is the one that brings us to Christ. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit convinces us, amen, of our sin. That's what he does. That's how, when if you got saved, it won't because you made up. It won't, look. It won't an emotion that you felt. It was an act of your will, amen. Because he ain't going to force you to do anything. So if you got saved and you are saved, it's because the Holy Spirit moved on your heart. Oh my God, you know what I'm saying? Got between all that junk and came and said, girl, you know you need to be saved. You know you need to come to a Savior. And that Holy Spirit drew you. So he convinces you of Jesus Christ's righteousness, and he also he convinces us of our sin, and he convinces us of the devil's judgment. He can convince you that God, that Jesus has the devil under his feet. We're standing on top with what? All things under our feet. And the last thing I know, the enemy under my feet. You hear what I'm saying? He's under my feet, and I'm standing on Jesus, and I'm standing with him. But we need the power. We need the power. Now, we're going to go over here to Acts, because after he told them to go, and then he told them to receive the power, and then he told them to go deliver mother, the first thing they got to do, they got to go get the power. So we see, let's look at Acts chapter 1. Many of us are familiar with this, but I'm an ABC preacher. You got to get this thing ABC, because if I give it to you ABC, you can go give it to somebody else ABC. Amen. And you need to see this in the word for yourself. Amen. Y'all want to be going down there, boy, that preacher wild down there. He don't know what he's talking. You're going to sit right here in the scripture. Ain't going to be no doubt, no debate, no discussion about it. It's the truth, and it's the living truth, and it is the truth that what sets us free. Oh, I need to hear the truth now. I'm hearing too many other voices out there. I need to hear the truth. I need to hear the truth. Too many folk talking, Wendy and all them folk, Queen Latifah, all them talking. Amen. I mean, who we listening to? I'm telling you. Yeah. We got to understand who we listening to. Yeah, so you can't be listening to too many of them folk. Matter of fact, I suggest you don't listen to any of them. Okay, are you Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. Go with me to verse 4. I want you to see this here. It says, in being what? Being what? Oh my God. They ain't just gathered. These are the disciples. And being what? Assembled together with them, he commended them that they should what? Not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? The promise of the Father, which said he, ye have what? Heard of me. Then look verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost. What? Not many days here. Now he said, now don't you leave Jerusalem. He said, now I need you to go. I need you to go in power and I need you to go deliver. But don't you better not leave Jerusalem without that power. He said, now wait for the promise of the Father. The Father done promised it. Now y'all go over there and wait for it. And not many days hence, they were assembled together in the upper room. Not many days hence, what? The Holy Ghost came. He came 50 days after what? The resurrection. Amen. It's called the day of what? Pentecost. Amen. See, most folks don't understand when you have the day of Pentecost, it's usually on a Sunday, and that's when people put on them flashy red suits. You know what I'm saying? Some folks, yeah, they celebrate Pentecost Sunday, where they dress like it, the colors of the fire. Red and yellow. Maybe I do that. Come up here in a yellow suit on Pentecost Sunday. Now, don't y'all count on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. A red suit, yellow tie. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, what I'm saying is, what I'm saying to you, if you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you on fire. You on fire. Fire, fire, fire. You know what I'm saying? You on fire when you got the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of you. And this is what he wants to do. He said, now if you're going to go, he said, now you don't leave Jerusalem until you done got the power. So let's look here. Let's pick up this here in verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive what? Power. And this word power is the word dunamis. D-U-N-I-M-A-S. Dunamis. Amen. Dunamis. He said, you should receive power. Dunamis. This is the word we get the word dynamite. Now, and you know, I've always told you in the house, when you get the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in your life, it don't blow you up. It blow Jesus up on the inside of you. Oh, my God. See, this is our issue. Many times we get disappointed in soul winning because we think they turn us down. Oh, I done prepare myself. I'm anointed and appointed. And you go out and try to lead somebody to Christ and they don't want to accept Jesus. Some folk get mad. I used to go out and do this stuff on a regular basis and see folks, some of the most anointed and appointed folks in the church, they get out there and get mad because they felt like they got turned down. You don't get rejected. They rejected the Jesus on there, and Jesus is big enough to deal with the rejection. You hear what I'm saying? But here go the thing though, but when you go out with the power, it ain't to blow you up. It's to blow Jesus up on the inside of you, because we said if he be what? High and lifted up, he draw what? All men. Folks are drawn to Jesus. You need to hear this thing. They are drawn to Jesus. I don't want no crowd following me. I want them following Jesus. I'm here to tell you. You want folks that's following you. Amen. If you know, if you're liking me on Facebook, following me on Twitter, I want you to follow the Jesus on the inside, because that's all I'm talking about out there. I'm talking about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I ain't got no foolishness to talk about. Oh, I got wrong Mitch Mack socks on today. No, I ain't talking about any of that foolishness. No, we talking about Jesus. It's crazy what some folk put out there, man. Now, we going to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray that Jesus lay hands on you so you know how to get your color straight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look at verse 8. He says, but ye shall receive power. That's dunamis power, dynamite, after the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. See, he comes up on you. He comes up on you. Amen. See, that when you get saved, that there's the Holy Spirit already sealed you. See, but now that you've been sealed, now you got to be filled. Oh, my God. I hadn't gave this example in a long time. I don't know if most of y'all was like me as a kid. When our tires busted on my bicycle, we had a little rubber kit. Y'all remember those little kits used to be by right there? You had a couple patches of rubber. Amen. Remember that? Had a little bit of glue. Amen. Yes, sir. You remember all that? Amen. First thing you do, you go put some air in your tire and throw it in the water. Make sure where the hole is at, right? And then after you do that, what you had to do, you say, all right, let me rough it up with a little rough thing again. Let me rough that area up so that sticker, that little patch of stick on there. I take that little seal off there and put it right on there and it sticks right to it, right? And then if some of us smart, you had an old lighter. Yeah, you throw that old lighter on there, Lanny. You throw that fire on there. You hear what I'm saying? And that fire would get that thing hot and it'll seal it. And you seal it for a while, but you got to understand this. I can put my tie back together and everything, and I can get on my bicycle and begin to ride, and I won't go nowhere. Why? Because I still got a flat tire. I sealed it, but I didn't what? Feel it. You hear what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. After you get saved, amen, you've been sealed. You're in the kingdom. You're in the camp now. You've been taken from the enemy's camp and you're placed in the Father's house now. But not only do he want to seal you, he wants to fill you now. So you can get up and go. So you can get back on your bicycle again. And now you're rolling for Jesus. I'm rolling for Jesus and with Jesus. So he wants me to go. And he wants me to go in power. And he wants me to go to deliver him. Now look what he says in verse. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be what? Say witnesses. That word witnesses there is martyr. Somebody say martyr. Now, you know what a martyr is. A martyr is someone that gives their life for what they believe. You hear that? They give their lives for what they believe. They're willing to suffer persecution and even death before they renounce, amen, whom they believe in. And so he said, now you're going to get this power so that you could be witnesses. Not unto me, not unto myself, but unto him. Look what he says. And he says, and ye shall be witnesses what? Unto me, both in Jerusalem. Somebody say Jerusalem. Say that's my home. Amen. That's my hood. Amen. He said Jerusalem. And then somebody say also Judea. So that's my neighborhood. That's just around that. Then somebody say Samaria. Say them the people I don't like. You remember when Jesus Christ said, I have must needs to go through Samaria. And you remember the woman says, you know that the Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. But Jesus Christ said, no, I have needs to go through Samaria. What I'm saying, this power going to cause you to go some places that you didn't think you would want to go. You know what I'm saying? Because they need to be delivered too. They need to be said, I mean, you're crossing some tracks now. You know what I'm saying? Oh my God. Yeah. You're going down. Amen. Yeah. You're going to some places that you're not comfortable or going or that you purposely avoid. I ain't going over there. They acting a fool over there. Nah, but when you get this power, he said, nah, I'm giving you this power to be witnesses and martyrs unto what? To me. Both in what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then look, he said, you might well go and get your passport. Amen. He said, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So go and get your passport. I know you thought you were going to France and all those places. And you may be. Amen. But if you go, you're going to win some souls. Oh, yes, sir. My trip was about winning some folks to Jesus. Amen. Oh, my God. I don't know about you. I'm excited, man. Whoa, take me to the airport. Amen. Let's go over the Rhine. Where we need to go? Let's go on out the door. Who cared about the snow? Let's put on the snowsuit. One thing about the military, as a soldier in the military, there was no such thing where we ain't going to go out today because it's cold. Brother, you better get that cold winter parka. You better get them long johns and them insulated boots that we issue you and put that thing on because it's on today. We still going to soldier today. That's what I'm talking about. There's somebody today. There's somebody out there in that cold. There's somebody, amen, that's high right now knowing that they need Jesus, amen, and they're looking for somebody to show up at the most inconvenient time. God looking for a man or a woman that's going to show up in their outfit. Say, I'm here in the name of Jesus. They're going to think they saw an angel because they're going to say, who in their right mind will come out here for me? Oh, my God, my God. We got to hit them when they less expect us to hit them. We got to let the devil know that we mean business. We going sun up or sundown. We going to win souls for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm willing to be a martyr. I'm willing to be a witness because I got dunamis power. I'm going to be a soul winner. And my business as soul winner is to win some men and women for him. Can I get an amen? Oh, y'all ain't got to shout me down today. I got happy and joy all on the inside of me. Amen. Today, Yes, sir, because when we talk about what he wants to do, I mean, it motivates you to do something for him. Now, go with me to the gospel according to St. Matthew. We're going on to Matthew chapter 4 because I want you to see here that now that you've been saved, the Lord showed me something. He showed me, Brother Joyce, that before I catch anybody, he got to catch me. Oh, my God. Before I think about going to tell anybody about Jesus, Jesus got to have already caught me. All right. What we say, Matthew chapter 4? My Lord, I'm all over here in 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to get over here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to pick up here in verse 18. This is what Jesus had called. Now, we picked up the narrative at the beginning of the service of where he came to them at the end. And he told them, you're going to go with power, go to deliver, and you're going to need to go with the Holy Ghost. Now, you got to understand that they had to be caught before they went out to catch some other men. So now we're going to go back from the beginning. And we're going to see exactly what we all get in on this thing. We're going to see exactly what we get in on this thing here, because this is the business of soul winning. It's the fishers. It's to be fishers of men. And when I say men there, I'm talking about mankind. Amen. To be a catchers of men. You know, one of the greatest things that I believe without a shadow of a doubt, not only in this city, but every city, is that people need to be saved. Yeah. People need to come to the knowledge of Jesus. I'm talking about people that don't know him, little children, young adults, adults, elderly, folks that do not know them, know him as their Lord and Savior. Are you in Matthew chapter 4? Let's pick this up at verse 18. We're going to read verses 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net. Somebody say, casting a net. So he was throwing out a net, it says, into the sea, for they were what? Fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I like that. He says, well, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So somebody might say, well, Pastor, I'm not a soul winner. Maybe because you ain't been made yet. Amen. What I'm saying to you here, I can't make you a soul winner. We will assist you and give you tools, but how you are made, he makes you. But you got to follow. He says, follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. He said, but you got to follow me. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Somebody say, follow him, and he's going to make you, or make me, a fisher of men. So this is where it comes down to. We got to follow him. See, if you're following, you what? Leaning on Jesus. That's what we doing this year. We're going to lean on Jesus. Not only this year, but for the rest of our lives, we're going to lean on him. And if we're leaning on him, we are following him. We're that one that's reclining. We're nearby. Wherever he move, I'm busting the move. And he said, I want you to follow me. He said, now they were casting out nets, fishing. They were fishermen. He get ready to change their calling and their vocation. You hear what I'm saying? He get ready to say, instead of fishing for fish, I'm getting ready to make you fishermen of men. And I'm here to tell you, everyone that know Jesus as the Lord of Savior, I don't care what you are doing. You need to know that your vocation and calling is to be a soul winner. To be a soul winner. Now, I've been called to be an executive. All right, you be an executive soul winner. You hear what I'm saying? You can't get away from it. Well, I just work at the pool in the summer. I've been called to be a lifeguard, all right? Well, you be a lifeguard that wins souls. Well, Pastor, I work on the trash truck, amen? Well, we'll put some tracks on the trash can. You know, tape them to it or do something, amen? Whatever it is, amen? But you can be a soul winner in whatever capacity that you're in. But you, in order to be a soul winner, he says, now you got to what? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, okay? Now, look what it goes on to say here. And it says, and they straightway left their nets and what? Followed him. Now, you know there's always going to be one smart individual in the bunch that's going to say, well, you know, I don't roll like that. You know, you got to work on me. And I'm telling here to tell you, he'll work with you. Let's look here. We're going to see, not here, but we're going to go to another account of the same story. It says, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Somebody say the sons of thunders. Them were twins there. Them boys were bad. I'm telling you, man. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. The Bible said they the sons of thunder. It says, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Somebody say now they're mending their nets. Now you had a group that were casting a net. They were on the front end of it. Then you got another crew that's mending their nets. They're on the back end of it. They tired. They've been there with their daddy. They mending and repairing the nets. And he called them. So he called some on the front end and he called some on the back end. And the Bible said they straightway. It says here in verse 22, and they what? Immediately left their ship and what? Their father. And the father did what? Follow him. Boy, that's bad right there. Oh, my God. Yes, sir, God. I'm getting ready to show you something here. Now, Jesus got to catch me before he catch men. Yeah. And this is how he's going to do it. He's going to take you deep. Somebody say deep. Deep. He'll show you your dependency. Somebody say, he'll show me my dependency. And then he'll show me that he is my deliverer. Somebody say, he'll show me that he is my deliverer. So, George, he'll take us deep. Somebody say deep.
Deep.
To show us our dependency.
Yes.
And to show us that he is our deliverer. Why? Because he got to catch me before I can catch some men. Yes. Oh, he got to catch me. He got to catch me first. So that I will be able to follow him. And so he can make me. See, this making is not again, I said it earlier, it's not a feeling of emotions. But it's an act of my will. These men, it was an act that they will. They left everything. Them James and John left the boat and their daddy. And one text do say that they did have some helpers, so they didn't leave daddy alone. There was some folk helping dad. But they had to come up out of this thing. You know, when we talked about this, that when the rich young ruler, and this is one of them, he'll take you what? Deep. He'll show you what you're dependent upon, and then he'll show you that I'm your deliverer. We know the rich young ruler, the rich young man. We dealt with him last week, right? And then he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You remember him asking Jesus that? And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, well, you got to keep all the commandments. He says, well, I kept this. But Jesus said, nah. He said, nah. He said, there's one thing here that we got to deal with. He says, now what I want you to do, to go sell all that you have, give unto the poor, that you may have treasures in heaven. And then he says, well, come follow me. And the Bible says that this is what the Bible says. The Bible says he went away sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. And what I'm saying unto you, see, Jesus took him to the deep. And then he dealt with him about his dependency. He said, boy, your dependency is on money. He said, let me tell you this. He said, you want to deal with me with the commandments, but let me take you out to the deep. And then let me show you why I got you here in the deep, what you're dependent upon. Amen. And then I'm going to show you what you need to do with what you need to do out in the deep, not back on the shore. So you do what you need to do out here so that I show you that I am your deliverer. Oh, my God. Oh, yes, sir. He said, I'll show you. Let's look at this in another account here. Go with me. Amen. Are you receiving anything today? I'm talking about the business of soul winning. That's to catch men, to be fishers of men. Look at Luke chapter 5. We're coming to a close. We're about to Luke chapter 5. I got one more scripture after we get with Luke, and then we're gonna roll, man. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to show you how he does this thing because, see, in order to catch men, he got to catch me. Luke chapter 5, he got to catch you. He got to catch all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I got to have me some catch up. I got to catch up. I desire to see this house. Amen. to be a place where people are running to the altar to get saved. Amen. Because we're soul winners. Amen. We're bringing some of them that's already saved. And then they come into the house of the Lord and they say, I want to come and stand before the people. I want to acknowledge before the people that I'm saved, that I'm acknowledging God. And I'm telling you, a spirit will come up on this house. You know what I'm saying? A spirit of soul winning once you start seeing people. This is what I always say. You got to first cross the aisles so they can walk the aisles. That's why we cross the aisles here and greet our neighbor, because we don't know who coming on what Sunday and how they are feeling and what's going on. We're going to greet them and we're going to love on them. But if we don't cross the aisles, instead of them walking the aisles, they're going to walk out the door. You hear what I'm saying? But no, we want them to walk the aisles. Amen. There's room at the cross for you. My God. Woo. And what I like about it, it's all even at the cross. I don't care what you got. Woo, where you been? How you living? Amen. Oh, it's all even at the cross, baby. Ain't no big eyes and little you. We all the same in his eyes. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, sir. It's available to everybody. You can't nobody be kept out of this thing. And that's why we want to see everybody to come to the knowledge of who he is. You know, simply if it's no other reason for what he done for you. Amen. I don't have to tell them about anybody else. I mean, I'm going to talk to them about Jesus, but I'm going to tell them what Jesus done for me. I can't be sitting there, well, you know, well, Jesus did this for Sister Nene, and he done that for Sister Nene. Look, if I was won't say, I'd look at them, well, what has Jesus done for you? We talking about, well, they done that for Sister Sun, Brother Sun. He said, no, but what has Jesus done for you? And if you don't understand what Jesus has done for you, you will not be a soul winner. Yeah, because he hadn't caught you. See, because he got to catch you and capture us, mother, before we can catch somebody else for him. Amen? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. How did Paul say, I'm apprehending that thing that has what? Apprehending me. Amen. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, my God. Woo, are you at Luke chapter 5? Verse 4? Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe we're on point today. I believe with all my heart. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Now, here go another account of Jesus calling his disciples. Now, after you get saved, you don't get saved again to be a monument, but you get saved to be an instrument. A vessel. Either you're going to be, you always tell me, you're either going to be a toy in the hand of the devil, yeah, or you're going to be a tool in the hand of God. Yeah. Now, there ain't no medium ground. You're either a toy or a tool. And if you allow him to catch you, if you follow him and let him make you, amen, to be a soul winner, you will be a, somebody say, I want to be a tool for God. Amen. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be a tool. Now, I want us to see this here. This Luke chapter 5. Let's look at verse 4 here. He says, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, most people know this story. Jesus is teaching. The crowds are all around him. They pressed up on him. He's teaching. He's feeding them the bread of life, and they just crowding in on him. And so Jesus gets in the boat. He gets in Simon Peter's boat. And I want you to know that when Jesus gets in your life, he knows that he's in your life. Oh, he knows whose boat he's in. And then he gets into the boat. And then he says, now, launch on out into the deep. I'm going to launch on out here. I'm going to teach. Now, he was sitting out there just close. He said, we're going to teach him first. And then he said, all right, not only do I need to teach the people, but I got to teach Peter. I got to take him to the deep to show him what he depended upon and to show him I'm his deliverer. You hear what I'm saying? He said, now let's go on out to the deep. He said, when they get out to the deep, he says, now let down your net for a draught. Now his first response was, but Jesus, we toiled all night long. I just left. I've been out here all night and I caught nothing. That's what he said. And then something came to his senses. He says, nevertheless, at thy word. Oh, that's a follower there. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I what? Let down the net. So he let, now look, it's right here. I'm not telling you something. Look, he says, now verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out to the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Now, don't you understand, Simon is Peter, who is one of the, now other than Judas, which betrayed him, the one disciple that got up under his skin all the time was Peter. Peter said, no, Lord, you ain't going to do that. He had to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was that one at the end of his ministry. He had to tell Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? If you do, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That was Peter that he had to deal with, isn't it? See, so what I'm saying is, so some of us are difficult. You know who you are. You know, you so deep. You got to, you don't tell me what to do, Jesus. No. But he had to take him out to the deep to show him who his dependency was on, what he was dependent on. And then he had to show them, hey, buddy, I'm the deliverer here. He done been out there, ain't caught anything. Now, Jesus said, now let's go back to your water. Let's go back to your spot. I'm going to show you that the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Amen. And all that is within thee. We're going to go back to the same spot. You ain't caught nothing. And I'm getting ready to tell you. Because when I speak to the seas, amen, I speak to the fish, they're going to look. They're going to jump in the net. He said, now let down your net. Amen. And he thought about that thing. He said, God, you got to be kidding. See, he was exceeding. He was going beyond this intellect thing, going beyond his emotions. He was going beyond all of that. And he said, now you better let down the nets, huh? And then he said, boy, he says, he explained to him, this don't make any sense. But nevertheless, see, I want you to know with Jesus is nevertheless. I'm telling with Jesus, it is nevertheless with him. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm getting ready to let down this net. That boy rolled down that net, man. The Bible said fish jumped into that thing. It was so much they had to call his partners to come over and help out with it. Let's take a look at this. It says in verse 5, and Simon answered unto him, say, Master, we have toiled all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net did what? It broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. So they began to do what? Sing. When Simon Peter saw it, he did what? He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, what? Depart from me. I am a what? Sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished that all were with him and the draught of the fishes that they have taken. Look at verse 10. And so was also what? James and John and Zebedee. Now you look over to the other account and you think that Jesus just said, come on, follow me. And they just picked everything. Now Jesus done showed out on them, man. Jesus showed, the thing was so big, everybody said, I'm dropping everything. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with Jesus here. And now look what he says to him here. He says to him in verse 10, he says, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were what? Partners with Simon. He got them all. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt do what? Catch men. Now, this is what the Lord showed me. See, this word catch men, C-A-T-C-H, how you spell men? M-E-N. Before I can catch men, he got to catch me. You see that? I got to take the end off. I can't catch men until he caught me. And what I'm saying to you, he had to catch Simon Peter before Simon Peter could catch any other men. And Simon Peter, in the midst of his fishing explorations, done come up bankrupt, and Jesus done show him, look here, brother, I am the God of the sea as well, amen? And he gets this revelation, and it blows his mind, amen? And he understands what he has been. See, Jesus showed him, he took him to the deep. But he showed him what he was dependent upon. He said, now you dependent upon fish. And fish ain't going to do what you tell them to do, but they'll do what I tell them to do. I want you to know I'm the God over the fence. And not only that, I tell you this day, from this day forward, you ain't going back to doing that kind of fishing. Now you get ready to catch men for me. But now, look, and he, you know he was caught because the Bible says he fell down and said, get away from me. I ain't even worthy to be around you. He said, nah, get on up. All y'all boys come on over here because I'm getting ready. It's time to report to headquarters now. I'm getting ready to tell you now, amen, from this day forward, you will no longer catch fish, but you get ready to be catchers of men. And now come follow me. Come follow me. And so they followed him here. And see, this come follow me is a voluntary action. Somebody says voluntary. It's a voluntary action. You got to make up in your mind, if you're going to be a soul winner, I'm going to follow him. I got to follow him. This is what he said. He said, this is how Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Take up his cross. How often? Daily. And do what? Come after me. Oh, there's a process to recess here now. If any man, a woman, is going to come after me. Yeah, that's over in the Gospel of Matthew. It's in the book. Amen. If any man is going to come after me, let him what? First of all, you got to do what? I got to deny myself. I call it a denying. I got to deny myself. Because the only thing holding me back up from following Jesus, for living how I need to live, it ain't the devil. It ain't my neighbor. It ain't my brother or my sister. It's me, oh Lord. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. Oh yeah, it's me, Lord. I ain't blaming nobody else. It's me. So if I'm going to follow him, first of all, I got to deny myself. And then, so that's denying. Then I got to pick up my cross. Amen. How often? Daily. That's a crucifying. Not only do I got to deny myself. See, I can't die till I deny myself. Whatever area that I'm not living for God, I got to deny myself. It's just like denying yourself from something that you don't need. Amen. And if you deny yourself from it long enough, guess what? It'll die. Your appetite will die for it. Everything will die. So I got to deny myself. Then I got to take up my cross daily. And then I got to crucify myself. So I got to deny. But a part of crucifixion is denying myself. And then I got to what? Follow after him. So I can't follow after him until I deny myself, crucify myself daily. Amen. This is a daily thing. See, I always like to say, folks, when I get up every morning, two people get up. My spirit man gets up. Holy Ghost gets up in me. First thing the Holy Ghost tell me, boy, get your butt down there and go pray. Open up the word. Talk to the Father. Because if you don't talk to the Father, that other rascal that woke up named Eric, he ready to take over today. It ain't got to be no week. One day. If you're running with Jesus the way you're supposed to be running with Jesus, you can't get this flesh one day. The Bible says that in your flesh is no good thing. Amen. And this flesh is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You got to put this flesh up under control. You got to get the soul under control. Amen. And the way you do it is by that spirit that he gave you, called the Holy Spirit. That what? Power. That what? Wonder working power, mother. Amen. That power. See, that power. See, this is the thing about it. Your flesh got to go to sleep. But the Spirit of God never goes to sleep. While you're sleeping, he's talking to you. While he's sleeping, he's telling you about the strategy. What we going to do tomorrow? How we going to overtake the enemy? See, I'm telling you, he talks to you. Even when you sleep, even when this old flesh has the rest, he's still ministering to you. He said, this is going to be our next move here. He said, now all I need you to do, you got to get up and you got to wait with me though. You got to spend some time with me. Because we got to bring this flesh upon it. It's called the lust of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. That part of your soul man that wants to do what it wants to do. You got to learn how to deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. That's a crucifying so that you can follow him, which is a what? Magnifying. Oh my God. You got to deny yourself. Crucify yourself so you can magnify the Lord thy God. Well, that's how you're going to follow him. Now, I'm going to close with this story here. Y'all know this. This is where we're going to close it. Go over to John chapter 4. This is where we're going. I can't take too much more of this myself. I'm telling you, John chapter 4. Amen. This is where we're going to close it here. Y'all are very familiar with this text of scripture as well. Now he says, come follow me. That's a voluntary act, is it not? Then he says, I will make you. See, he wants you to, when you come follow him as a disciple, you're going to assemble yourself. So it's an act, but it's a voluntary act. And then the second thing is, he says, I will make you. That means he's getting ready to assemble you now. You see what I'm saying? See, he's going to make you. He's going to assemble you. He's going to put you together. You know, one of my favorite nursery rhymes, Humpty Dumpty, sit on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king horses and all the king men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Guess who the only person can do it? It was what? The king. So the king comes to assemble your life. The Bible says he took him up. He took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the way the Bible says he took them apart to take them apart. Oh my God, you got to let Jesus come take you apart so he can take you apart. And then do what? Put you all back together again. You know what I'm saying? Only the king can do that. Only the king can do that. And what I'm saying unto you, you can't take nobody apart out there. But the king can. You see what I'm saying? Look, their situation is too hard for you. But it's never too hard for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying, you got to tell them about Jesus. The same man that caught you got to be the same man that catches them. Because he's going to catch them. Hold up, brother. He's going to catch you trying to close. I'll let you know. Amen. Just stay right there. Amen. I love you, brother. You trying to get me down that road, brother. Amen. That chicken's still there. Whatever's over there waiting, it's still going to be there. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe you should deny yourself today. Okay, yeah. Yeah. You better don't push your luck, pastor. Amen. But what I want us to see here is that this is an act. When he says, come follow me, it's an act. It's a voluntary act. So when you go share the gospel with someone, it's a voluntary act. You can't trick them into getting saved. You might lay some things out that says that, you know, if you died, you know, if you were to walk out of here and you have a car wreck and lose your life, would you go to the Lord? And they would say no. They probably say no if they don't know the Lord. And then you share the gospel. But we're not trying to trick anybody into getting saved. This ain't what we're talking about. When you get saved, when you are soul winner trying to win someone, this is serious. And you want them to make an intelligent decision about coming to the Lord. Because when you come to the Lord, it changes your life. For the best, for the better. It changes your life. And you want people that's going to get saved that want their life changed, man. You don't want to hoodwink them. And you get in this thing right here, you getting ready to get changed. The same one caught me getting ready to catch you. And he getting ready to take your part and put you back together again. See, in order for him to make me, he got to take me. And it got to be a voluntary act of my will. I'm going to follow him so he can make me. But he got to make me, he got to take me. But to take me, I got to be wanted to be allowed. It got to be an act of my voluntary will. I want you to take my life. See, the Bible says they that win souls are wise. They that what? Taketh. Yeah. They got to take this thing, man. And we're going to give it to him in such a way with the love of God, with the power of God upon us, that they're going to want to take that thing. Because as they take it, we're taking them out of the kingdom of darkness and seeing them come into the kingdom of light. And then after they get taken, Brother George, now it's time for them to get discipled. They got to get discipled. They got to walk this thing out. So come to me. He says, I will make you. And then he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. This is our vocation. This is our assignment as soul winners, the fishers of men. I'm going to end here with this story. We're very familiar with it because we're talking about that how he got to get me before I can get some men. And he always take us deep, deeper than we want to go. Yeah. Oh, you can't bamboozle Jesus. Jesus, he'll deal with you right where you're at, and he'll deal with you where you've been. Yes, he will. He'll show you that he knows all things. You want to go deep with me? I'll take you out to the deep, honey. That's what he said. We'll go out to the deep. And then when we go out to the deep, I'm going to show you what you're dependent upon. But while you're out there, I'm going to also show you I'm your deliverer. This is what he does with this woman at the well. Let's take a look here. And we're familiar with this story. I get excited. Look at verse 4 and 10. Let's pick it up there. He says, Jesus answered and said unto her, this is the woman at the well. She was there to get some water. Jesus was, he's never weary in the work. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? But he was weary in the journey. And so he was sitting on the well. And this woman comes up to the well. She's a Samaritan. Somebody said Samaritan. See, he says, I must have needs to go through Samaria. And then she says, you know Samaritans ain't got anything to do with the Jews. This is what she told Jesus. Look what he says. Jesus answered and said unto her, look at verse 9, just to prove your point. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knew what? The gift of God. He was saying, boy, if you only knew. I'm telling you, man, if you only knew, he said, if you only knew, he said, if thou knew of the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, that thou would ask him and he would give unto thee what? Living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou have nothing to draw with, and the well is what? Oh, man, Jesus said, I can go. I ain't got to have nothing to draw with. I am deep. You talking about going down into that well. But look, I am the fountain of life. I am the living water. I am the spring. Amen. He said, man, you talking about going down in that little, you ain't got nothing to get down there, Jesus. Boy, Jesus said, girl, you don't know who you talking to. I'm the gift of God. If you knew who I was, look, you'd be asking me for something to drink. Oh, my God, brother. Jesus getting ready to take her now. He getting ready to take her deep, and he getting ready to show her what her dependency is at, so he can show her, I'm your deliverer. I'm all you need. Amen. I'm all that you need. Amen. Matter of fact, let's get that song ready. I'm all that I need. Yeah, you're all that I need. Did we sing that this morning? Yes, sir. We going. Yeah, I knew something there. I knew I heard it somewhere this morning. Cause we going out of here understanding he's all that I need. See, some of us, when our song was played, we didn't know what it meant. Well, what you talking about? He's all that I need. Look, now you done heard this message? Oh, you know he's all that you need now. And I'm getting ready to show you. If you don't know now, if you don't get it through this right here, something wrong. Something wrong. So now he done dealt with the men. Did he not? He dealt with the men. He said, y'all got a fishing problem. Y'all outdoorsmen. Y'all just like hanging around that water, going out there and get fish. So I'm going to take y'all out deep and show you that I'm the king. And we know he did it at the end of his life, didn't he? He told Peter that Peter went back to fishing. Peter, dumb, Mr. I want to do it my way, went back to fishing. And the Bible says the rest of the disciples, what? Followed him. We got to make sure who influencing us, man. Peter took them boys back to fishing. And then it was John, the one that leaned on Jesus. He's sitting out there. They see a man over there on the shore. And Peter, they didn't know who it was. And then John told Peter, that's Jesus, boy. That boy, Peter, jumped out of the boat and got in the water and made his way to Jesus. The Bible said Jesus was already there. They already had some fish cooked. they out there trying to get some fish. Jesus sitting on the shore already chilling. Already got the fish cooked. You hear what I'm saying? When we try to do it in our own strength, we're going to always keep doing this laboring and slaving. Nah, he said, nah, but when you hook up with me, my yoke is easy and what? My burden is light. He said, come sit at my feet and what? Learn of me. Oh, my God, my God. But we serve a risen Savior, a good God. Amen. Why would we be double? Why are we two-timing on them? Why we got a mistress on the side? Amen. Why we got all of that? When he the one, he's all that I need. He's all that I need. Now he gonna show this woman this. This woman got a man problem. She got a man problem. Yeah. Well, amen. And men have women problems. And women have men problems, okay? Now, he dealing with her about something to drink. He dealing with her right where she at. She thought, Jesus was thirsty. He said, now you give me something to drink. All the time knowing that she needed something to drink. And then she said, now how you going to give me something to drink? That's a deep well there, man. But Jesus said, you don't know who you talking to, girl. He said, now I'm really getting ready to take you to the deep. Look what he says here, verse 11. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep from whence thou hast the living water. And look, she said, art thou greater than our father Jacob? See, she got a man problem. You hear what I'm saying? See, we usually take it down there with all those husbands. Now, she got a man problem even in her own house. Our father, Jacob. Jacob? You know, that's about like when we're talking about, do you know Abraham? He said, before Abraham was, I am. It's the same thing. Before Jacob was, I am. Now, what are you talking about? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you talking about Jacob. You forgot about our father, Jacob. Who Jacob? Jacob ain't nothing compared to me. She got a man problem. In more than one way. She says now, she says, are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Oh, my God. And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. She said, now, don't, are you trying to say you better than Jacob? That made the well, that gave us the well, that fed all of us. He said, look, I'm getting ready to bust your bubble. That's what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to take you out to the deep, girl. And I'm getting ready to blow your mind. And when I get through blowing your mind, you ain't gonna never fall in love with another man other than me. Ain't no other man. I don't care if you're getting married again. He ain't gonna never be what I am to you. Yeah. He might have a place in your life, but he ain't gonna be preeminent. I'm gonna be number one in your life. I'm helping some of you ladies already. I'm helping some of you married folk. Jesus got to be number one. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care how he's scratching and what he want. Nah, tell him, brother, you ain't getting with Jesus. You can't get with me. Yeah, you can play something on that, brother. Give me a something, yes. Ah, my. Oh, my God. Hey, my. Yeah. Because Jesus ready to deal with your daddy and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. He ready to deal with your daddy and everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Our father, Jacob. Yeah, what you talking about, Jacob, girl? Now, look what he goes on to say here. In verse 13 here, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He said, now, you really want something out of that well? He said, now, I know Jacob did it. And he took care. But if you drink of that one right there, you're going to be thirsty again. But boy, she warming up now. Because she got a man problem. Why? Why? This is what she said. If you got something better than that, I'll drink it. That boy get ready to say, you got a man problem. You easily, you can. He just say the right words and you just roll. It's over for you. He said, girl, you got a man problem. You got a man problem. Oh, my God. This is going to be a good one to do at a women's conference right here. Yes, sir. Invite me to speak. Woo, girl had a man problem. Ah, Lord, we got to get through this, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Get me on through this, Holy Ghost. It's not my doing. Verse 14, she says, but whosoever... This is Jesus saying, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I should give him shall never thirst, but the water that I should give him shall be in him a well of water springing up with everlasting life. You know, the Bible says that out of the belly shall flow the rivers of living water. Look what he says in verse 13. Look what she says, what Jesus said to her. Jesus answered and said of her, verse 15. The woman said unto him, what? Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. She said, now look, if it's going to exempt me, I know my father, I know Jacob, but you know what? I'm willing to turn my back on Jacob now and to go with Jesus. Oh, I thought Jacob was the one that made it and he fed everybody. I thought, how about your father, Jacob? She turned her back on her father. She gone over here now. She got a man problem, but she don't know the man that she dealing with. Oh, my God. She dealing with a man. She can't go. She ain't going to never find another man like this one. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. She said, I tell you what, just give me that to drink. You mean to tell me I ain't got to go back over there and drink over there again? Go and get it to me. Just go. Just go and give it to me. Look here. It picks up. It's verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come hither. Uh-oh. I done dealt with you. Now let's go on to the deep now. I'm getting ready to show you your problem. You already done revealed it to me. You had a daddy problem up there. You know, you already got man. Then I done said something to you, then got you weak, and you look, now, let's do that now. Go get your husband. I got you out here in the deep now. Now we're going to deal with your dependency now. Since we out here, let's go on and get on out here and deal with this thing. Now she said, now he said, go get your husband. Look what she says. She said, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou have had what? 5 husbands. And he whom thou now have is what? Not your husband. In that saith thou truly. And look what the woman said. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Not only, oh my God, boy. Whoo, God, boy, you done really blew my mind now. You a prophet. A God, I perceive, because you done told me something that you ain't even supposed to know. Yeah, he knew. I know you got a man problem. See, that's what Jesus will do when we go win souls. He'll deal with people and he'll use you as a, this is one of my favorite songs. Lord, I want to be more like you. Oh, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel that you flow through. Lord, I want to be more like you. What I'm saying, when you go as a soul winner, he'll use you as a prophet. Yeah. Oh, my God. He'll flow through you. And he'll have you to tell them something that they only they knew, and they know you didn't know it. And then, boy, they look, then they wake up to Jesus then. What? Oh, they on board now. You out in the deep with them now. Now you just reeling them on in. Reeling them on in. That's what he doing. He got out here in the deep, said, now go get your husband. He said, she said, well, I don't have no husband. He said, well, the 5 that you done had, amen, and the 1 you got ain't your husband right now. Yeah, and he said, ain't I telling the truth? She said, yeah, you telling the truth then, but I perceive you to be a prophet. Now look what she goes on to say here. We're coming to a close here. She says here in verse did we leave off? 20. Look, here she go again. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. There she go again, vacillating. Okay, I know you're a prophet. Now we're going to deal with worship now. Now you said that we worship in Jerusalem, but our fathers worship up in the mountain. Girl, you still got a man problem. Jesus Christ getting ready to deal with us and say, look, the time is coming, and the time now is we ain't going to worship in Jerusalem, neither the mountains, because they that worship him in what? Spirit and also in truth. Oh, my God. He said, we're going to take it out of the mountain and take it out of the buildings. Amen. You know, we're going to worship him for who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Now, he says, verse 21, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mount nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh if now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to do what? Worship him. God is what? A spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit and truth. See, if you ain't got the spirit in you, you can't worship him in spirit. It's as simple as that. You got to go make the pickup. You got to pick that up. If you're going to pick that up. Your worship got to be a worship that's in spirit and also in truth. And the only way it's going to be in truth is it's in the spirit. Because the spirit brings you into remembrance of his word. And his word is truth. And it's the truth that sets you free. Oh, my God. Man, look, man. This thing just keep connecting. Amen. Now let's look here. We hear. Now, I love this right here. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know the Messiah's coming. She said, I know the Messiah coming, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now look, hey girl, you ain't got it yet. Amen. What more do you need him to tell you? Oh, I know the Messiah And when he cometh, he gonna tell us all things. Now look how Jesus breaks her down. Jesus said, verse 20 said, Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee is what? Am he. And upon this came, okay, now his disciples come. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that we talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou to her? So they are marveled that he's talking to this woman. Now, what I want to do, look at verse 28. He says, the woman then left her what?
Water pot.
Now, what does the water pot do? Huh? Huh? Now, he took her to deep. He took her deep.
Yes, he did.
And he told her what your dependence was. But then she said, what? Now he's delivering her. He delivered her so much so that she said, you know what? I'm getting ready to get rid of any and everything that looked like it's associated with me going to that well.
Yeah.
She said, I got rid of the water pot. Now, look what she said when she got rid of the water pot. See, this is what soul winning is so effective. She said, verse 28, thank you. It says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to who? The very people she had a problem with. she said, I know I'm too hot to try it, and all y'all want me. I know I'm good to all of you. So all of you come on over here and let me tell you something now. They gathered. She went to the men. She gathered them all together. Look, look. And then she says, come see a man. You know what? She started estimating. She said, boy, he better than my mother. Better than that song? My father, yeah, amen. He better than my children. He better than what? My man or my woman. He better than my what? My best friend, amen. He better. He is better. And so she's coming to now. She done got delivered, Brother Sean. She done got delivered of this thing. See, Jesus will take you to win you. To become a soul winner, you got to come to him. Let him make you. Amen, amen. And then you can follow after him to be a soul winner. But let me tell you, he got to get me before I get to men. Yeah. And I'm telling you, every one of us that's here, if you hadn't been out to the deep with him yet, he going to take you out there. Yeah. Oh, yes, sir, because he loves you. Yeah. He going to take you out there. He going to show you what your issue is. He going to show you what your problem is out there. He said, now I'm going to show you that I am the man. I know you've been dependent upon that, a little bit upon this, a little bit, but we gonna go out deep one day. And I'm getting ready to show you what you're dependent upon. And then I'm gonna deliver you. He delivers this woman. She says, come see a man that has told me everything that I ever done.
Amen.
See, this is it. This is it, Sister Nene. This is it, Brother Leandre. This is it. We bring them to Jesus and then let Jesus do what need to be done. You hear what I'm saying? He's a living God. He ain't dead. But what I'm saying, he gonna work through us as soul winners. But I'm here to tell you, you get sleepy. You get sick. You might can't go out a day or two. See, what I'm saying is you don't want nobody dependent upon you. That's religion. You don't want to be no soul winner. Got people calling you all the time, feeling like you got to keep them up. Nah, that's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a house of people. Amen. A house of prayer. A people that's dependent upon Jesus for themselves. We ain't talking about a whole bunch of seats with people with baby bottles in their hand and we holding a bottle and nursing them for the rest of their lives. See, that's why we have these little programs. Let's get all these folks. Yeah, I smoke dope. You smoke dope. Yeah, we all smoke dope. These little, and that's why they got to meet like that for the rest of their life. No, I don't want to be in that if I done met Jesus. Jesus done delivered me from the dope. If I'm coming to the meeting, I'm coming to deliver. I'm coming to tell you about Jesus, the one that delivered me from the crack, the one that delivered me from the cocaine, the women, the men, and all. I'm not just going to sit in a group and talk about, yeah, I'm an addict. You an addict too?
Amen.
Y'all can play those games. Them games won't be played in this church. Nah, we not going to have. We talking about deliverance. If he can deliver you, if he can catch me, I know he can catch them and deliver them. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I got it all together, but I know who to go to. I can go to a living God. I ain't going to no monument. I'm going to an instrument. I'm going to a vessel that I can talk to, and I can confess my sins, and he can cleanse me from all my unrighteousness and set me back in my right place. Oh, people are jack you up. People have you controlled and manipulated. You ain't nothing else in my life any longer because you did this and you didn't do that. Nah, that ain't the house. That ain't the house that we serve in. That ain't the God that we serve. Amen. Now, we need to bring them to Jesus. And this is what that woman done. I want you to see this because she said, come see a man. Look what they did. Look what they did. Look what they did. Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. This woman had influence. Look at verse 42. Because here go the deal. I mean, verse 39. 39. Look here. And this is where we're going to end. 39 to 42. And I promise you, we're going to close. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for what? The saying of the woman. They came. They believed on Jesus. Amen. Because of what? What the woman said. The woman had a testimony. The woman said, come see a man that told me everything that about myself. Then look what it says. Which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would what? Tarry with them. And he abode with them. How long? 2 days. And many more believed because of what? His own word. Not only did they believe on her word, but many more believed on his word. Now look what it says. And said unto the woman, now we believe him, not because of your saying, for we have what? Heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Christ, what? The Savior of the whole world. Oh my God. Isn't that beautiful? We go get him and we tell them about Jesus and they get saved. And then they come into a relationship with Jesus for themselves. And they say, not only do we know him because of what you said about him, because guess what? Not only did he talk to you, but now he's talking to me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Isn't that exciting? To go win some souls. But before we can catch men, he got to catch me. Somebody say he got to catch me. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Praise and worship. You will come up.